podcasting from the office of Down East Lakes Land Trust in Grand Lake Stream, Maine. This is Unity to Wisdom. Today, our guest is Mark Berry, the Executive Director of Down East Lakes Land Trust. So, please go ahead and introduce yourself.
Okay, my name is Mark Berry. I'm the Executive Director for Down East Lakes Land Trust in Grand Lake Stream, Maine.
Provide an introduction of Down East Lakes Land Trust.
Okay. Down East Lakes Land Trust was founded in 2001 with a mission to contribute to the long-term economic and environmental well-being of the Down East Lakes region of Maine through the conservation and exemplary management of its forests and waters. We're based in the small community of Grand Lake Stream, which is surrounded by a broad landscape of forests and lakes. And this is a community that has, for a very long time, depended on that natural resource base. It's been a destination for primarily fishing and hunting, and now increasingly other forms of nature-based tourism as well.
And so how many projects have you done?
The Land Trust, it's now 2009. We're about 8 years old. We have done only two projects, but they were both very large. The first project was the Down East Lakes Forestry Partnership, where we were the local partner with the New England Forestry Foundation. And through that effort, the Land Trust acquired a 27,000-acre Farm Cove community forest that has 62 miles of lakefront on six lakes and is immediately to the west of the village of Grand Lake Stream. Also through that partnership, we secured conservation easement and a public access easement on 312,000 acres called the Sunrise Easement. Following that, we very quickly had an opportunity to protect an adjacent parcel of 6,628 acres called the Wabasas Lake Project that directly abutted the Farm Cove Community Forest and a state conservation corridor on the Machias River. We closed on that acquisition in December.
Great. And so you were working with these projects that resulted in easements, but you're not the holder of the conservation easements.
No, we actually are the fee owner of now 33,708 acres of community forest land that we manage for wildlife habitat, public recreation, and a sustainable supply of forest products. But we don't hold any conservation easements. All of our lands are also subject to easement, and that's what we consider to be a backup level of protection.
Great. And so some of your properties go all the way to the state border, the nation's border?
The community forest doesn't directly abut the border, but the Sunrise easement does, and it actually abuts a state-held corridor along the St. Croix River, which is the international boundary between Maine and New Brunswick, Canada. On the other side of the border, there are over 900,000 acres of crown lands, managed or protected lands, but permanently conserved. Together with everything that's been accomplished here in Maine, it's almost 1.4 million acres of contiguous conserved lands, so it's a very significant landscape.
That's great. And all the projects that you've been working on so far have been with corporations that have originally held the land.
All of the land had been paper company land at one time. The Down East Lakes Forestry Partnership lands were Georgia Pacific lands that Georgia Pacific had sold to an investment group named Typhoon LLC, managed by Wagner Timberlands. And the Wabasas Lake Project, the 6,600-acre parcel, is former international paper land that was acquired by a local investor group before our purchase. And that was a bargain sale to the Land Trust.
So Has there been any work, has there been any interest from local individual landowners of working with the land trust?
We have been approached by some smaller landowners. In one case, there was an interest in donating an easement on a parcel that we were interested in from a conservation perspective. It was a small property of about 8 acres, and the family ended up deciding the timing wasn't right for them. They didn't have internal agreement on what they wanted to do. We've also been approached by some that didn't make sense for us because they didn't have the conservation values that and we had to make decisions of priorities.
So how do you manage to steward such vast properties? I mean, these are huge properties. You can't just go out and walk the property in one day.
No, there are a couple things that play into that for us. One, you know, our board of directors and the volunteers that serve on our committees and volunteer in other capacities, we have a lot of local folks who spend a lot of time out on these properties normally in their day-to-day activities. And so we have a lot of eyes and ears out there in the woods. If we had problems, we're going to find out about them. In terms of how we actually manage the lands, we have a Forestry Resources Committee. We work with a contract forest management company called Orion Timberlands. They actually employ our forester. And the forester and Orion develop annual harvest plans for us, which our Forestry Committee has a very active role in reviewing and providing input into, and then ultimately recommending to the board. And the board approves each annual harvest plan.
Great. And so you work in a small community, but you've done these huge projects. So what are your sources of fundraising beyond the local community?
I think one of the things that has been most important for fundraising for these large capital campaigns has been the strong local support. The actual dollars from the local community don't amount to a huge percentage of what we're accomplishing, but because we have that local support, we are, or at least have been, more successful in presenting these projects to foundations and public agencies than we might otherwise be. There are two capital campaigns that I can draw on to answer that question, and they're very different. The first one was enormous. The second one was large. But there was an order of magnitude difference between the two. And the first one, the Downey Sykes Forestry Partnership, was predominantly private philanthropy, individuals, foundations, and corporations. And the two biggest donations to that campaign were from a private individual who had no connection to the community but was interested in mainland conservation and liked that it was a community-based project, and Walmart, through the Acres for America program that they established with the National Fish and Wildlife Foundation. This was one of the lead-off grants for that program.
Great.
Both of those were instrumental in success of that first campaign. Without either, I don't know if it would have succeeded. Both campaigns were supported by some really important public financing sources. The Land for Maine's Future program, a very popular program in Maine that is currently up for consideration of a new bond. We received funding through that for both projects, and it's incredibly important. Also, federal funding through wetlands conservation funds called NACA, North American Wetlands Conservation Act, and in the case of the second project, the Forest Legacy Program through the U.S. Forest Service.
Great.
The public financing was comparable for the two projects, even though the first one was so much bigger. So the second one had a higher percentage of public funds.
Okay. Excellent. So, continuing on the fundraising side, I know that you have a relationship with Grand Lake Lodge. How did that come about?
Well, the owner of Grand Lake Lodge, Lindsay Wheaton, is now president of our board of directors. We actually have good relationships with the majority of the businesses in town. I have really strong support from the lodge owners as well as the local guides. And I think that's right at the center of who we are as a local land trust, is we're supporting the economy of this community that is based on the lodges, the camps, and the guides. And our board is still predominantly local registered Maine guides.
Great.
So shifting a little bit more personally, why did you get involved in land conservation?
Why I got involved in land conservation, it probably goes back pretty early in my life. But I grew up in southern Maine, and my father's side of the family was from coastal Washington County, and I spent a lot of my childhood at a camp on a lake in Maine.
Yep.
And was introduced very early to the outdoors, in part through fishing and hunting, in part through hiking with my family, and developed a love for all of those things. And that led me to pursue a career in field biology, ecology, evolutionary biology, mostly because I was interested in it and wanted a career that would keep me connected to those kinds of places. I pursued that through some teaching and research positions and found myself managing a large conservation property in the Pacific Northwest, mm-hmm. and then had an opportunity to return to Maine to take this position with the Down East Lakes Land Trust about 3 years ago.
Excellent. So where is your favorite place to be?
My favorite place to be is probably usually someplace new. It's usually on the water, and it's usually someplace I haven't been yet.
Great.
I tend to like to explore.
It's always a good thing. How do you explain your passion for land conservation to friends and family?
Well, most of my friends and family get it.
Yes.
They're already there. So the question might be more challenging with regard to a new acquaintance or somebody mm-hmm. who isn't connected to the outdoors the way my
and
family and a lot of my friends are.
I'm expecting many in this community already have that direct connection and
absolutely.
Passion.
Absolutely. In fact, they probably wonder how I tolerate spending a lot of time in the office, because most of them get to spend more time outdoors. I think I present it as I'm excited about this project because it's a chance to keep a natural landscape that a community depends on, and people and their children and their grandchildren will always be able to either live here and have this way of life or quality of life, or visit and get this connection to the natural world, perhaps by staying at a camp or lodge, perhaps by going out and camping on the lakes, catch a fish, paddle a canoe, hear a loon, and bring that back to the rest of their life.
Very cool. So how did you learn about the Land Trust Alliance? Did you know about
honestly,
us before you
yeah.
started working for Down East Lakes?
I did, and honestly, I don't remember how I first heard of the Land Trust Alliance, but I can say that when I was managing that conservation property in Oregon and had been in the position about 5.5 years, I was starting to consider next move career-wise and was interested in land trust generally because I liked the idea of conservation being done by local people. I was working for a tribe in a situation with federal funding and had seen a lot of the pushback against federal agency involvement
yeah.
in land conservation. And I actually used the Land Trust Alliance to start looking around for possible employment.
Oh, excellent.
Through the Land Trust Alliance that I saw the position here at Down East Lakes Land Trust, and it was the only letter I sent. My
wow.
wife and I flew across country, and we were convinced by the board that this was worth taking a chance on.
Wow. That's a great story. So, do you think the Down East Lakes Land Trust will still be around in 100 years?
I do, but I admit to some uncertainty about that. It's a very long time to predict with complete confidence. I think there are global forces that come to bear on that that go far beyond what we'll do here in Grand Lake Stream.
Absolutely.
But I think we have a committed group of people that is thinking in those terms and trying to prepare a structure that will ensure that these lands are conserved for that length of time, and hopefully by this organization.
Yep.
But if not, by an appropriate organization.
Great. Great. So have you taken any trainings that the Land Trust Alliance has provided, or have you used any of our resources, our books, or our website? Beyond using our website to find the job to begin with.
I certainly used the website some. I haven't been to any formal trainings with the exception of the Northeast Land Trust Conference just this spring, which I found very valuable. And I will be attending the rally this fall out in Oregon and presenting a workshop on community forestry. So while I'm there, I expect to learn quite a lot as well.
Yes. So, is that that's a workshop, not one of the seminars?
It's a workshop.
Okay.
Yeah, and I'm still finalizing the details of that, but most likely will be in association with some of the leading experts in community forestry from the country.
Oh, great!
And we'll be presenting Downey Select Land Trust work as a good example of how a land trust can play a leading role in a community forest project.
Do you know what workshop session that is, in case anyone's listening and is going to rally and wants to attend?
I think our title is Community Forests, a Community Investment Strategy.
Great.
It's a Tuesday workshop.
It's a Tuesday workshop. What can the Land Trust Alliance do for the Down East Lakes Land Trust?
Well, I think you're doing a lot of things that are important for land trusts already.
Yeah.
In providing networks for information, advice, best practices, all of that has been valuable to us. We are now taking on yet another very challenging conservation project, which is called the West Grand Lake Community Forest, and it's an opportunity to protect 21,700 acres right in the center of the landscape that's already conserved. It surrounds the village. It's really the keystone property to complete the vision of an intact landscape and a vibrant community in the middle of it. And we've secured an opportunity in the form of an option agreement that gives us 7 years to do that project. But it is a $24 million capital campaign, and that's a daunting task for a community land trust in a fairly remote village in eastern Maine. One of the things that anybody, Land Trust Alliance or otherwise, can do for us in that regard is help increase awareness of these types of opportunities and their importance to local people and the economy of an area like this.
Good. I was hoping you'd say something like that and not asking us to write a check for underwriting that project.
That'd be welcome too.
Oh, I'm sure. Are you familiar with accreditation?
Yes. We have not pursued it yet. I think we are, again, unusual in that we have only done two conservation projects, and they're very large. In terms of our practices, I think they're quite solid, and we would be well positioned for accreditation.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that part of the accreditation is looking at documentation of past conservation projects, and in one sense, we have a rather small portfolio. We've done two.
Yes.
Our real priority right now has to be the West Grand Lake Community Forest Project, but accreditation is in our thoughts and is a direction we are likely to go, and I can't predict yet exactly how soon.
I'm sure I won't be the only person to ask you that question. You'll get a call from somebody.
Yep.
Are there any challenges or success stories or war stories that you have that you could pass on that would, you know, as a success story, be an inspiration to someone, or a war story of here's something from our experience to watch out for?
Well, I missed out on what might be the war stories from the first project. The Wabasis Lake project went through without anything that would really qualify as a war story.
Okay.
I think what perhaps other organizations could see from us is the idea that a community can take on a lot more than people might think is possible. This is a village of about 150 people, and it's formed a local conservation group that has protected hundreds of thousands of acres and now owns and manages over 33,000 acres. When the first project was launched, a feasibility study was done to look at the capital campaign, and the answer was, no, you can't do it. Don't do it. And they might have been right, because it was an extremely difficult campaign that took a long time, but it succeeded. And we have a chance to face that kind of a challenge again right now.
So, do you have anything else to add? Anything I might have missed that you wanted to pass on?
Well, I don't know who might be out there as the audience for this interview, but I would extend an invitation to, if you're interested in what we've done here, to come see it firsthand. Grand Lake Stream is a spectacular spot. If you'd like to put a boat in the water or cast a line and connect with a landlocked salmon or a smallmouth bass, this is a good place to do it. And you can check our website at www.downeastlakes.org for more information about what we're working on.
Wonderful. And I'm going to head off and take you up on that and put out a canoe right now, I think. So thank you very much.